evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Roosevelt Borough Council meeting of November 13th, 2018 at 7 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231 PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 2nd, 2018, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was mailed to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. And contrary to what it says on the agenda, the oath of office was already administered prior to the meeting to our new council member, Luke Dermody. So I'd like to give him a warm welcome. Not too many people here to welcome him, but okay. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Parker, he is absent. Ms. Sheehan is absent. Mr. Trammell is absent. Mayor Malkin?
Here.
Okay, so we have four, which we're able to hold this meeting.
Okay. I don't have an actual report tonight, but I did want to discuss something. Michael, I wanted this to go into the public record, and I'm hoping that you will report this for the Borough Bulletin. There are some, there was a Facebook page about Roosevelt, which is not an authorized official Roosevelt Facebook page. It's privately run. And there's also another site somewhere. I don't know because I don't actually read it myself, but there's something that's titled The Roosevelt Truth. And basically, these two sites are run by people who, have an axe to grind, are very critical of the administration. And I was never going to address this before because I didn't want to lend any credence to it. I didn't want to pay any attention to it. But lately, the attacks on these sites have ramped up, and basically, they are full of I don't want to say inaccurate information. They're just simply lies. What's printed on there is not true. And so I'm afraid that some people will read it and believe that it is true. So I'm actually going to read the last thing that was posted, which was this past weekend. And it's on this site, which ironically is called Roosevelt Truth. But it says, Peggy and Mike sent flyers pushing a $719,000 bond to fix unbroken water pipes in front of Mayor Peggy's house because we have no water problems. 2 days before the election day, the water tower pipes broke. They waited until the afternoon of election day to send a notice and then claimed that Water Sewer was doing routine maintenance in all caps. Rates will rise, breaks will continue. We are $719,000 in debt for nothing. The state has not committed to reducing the amount we have to pay on the bond. They lied again. The town is hoodwinked again and again. So, first of all, Peggy and Mike did not send the flyer about the pipes. I did myself, and I also paid for it myself, since although the vote from the council was unanimous in passing the bond for the pipes, it was still my opinion that it was the right thing to do. So I sent that flyer, and I signed my name to it. Which, by the way, these posts are all anonymous. No one ever signs a name. They're completely anonymous. So the first sentence is wrong because Mike Hamilton did not have anything to do with the flyer. I sent it out. I paid for it. As far as saying that the pipes broke on election day and that we told people we were doing routine maintenance, there was no water tower pipe breakage at the water tower, not then. We haven't had a water pipe break, I guess, since, what, maybe last winter or something. There was no break. This was iron sludge removal, which is supposed to be done every year or two, but it's been 4 years. This is routine maintenance. I don't have the exact date, but the council voted to approve iron sludge removal at the water tower, and so that's exactly what was performed. There was no pipe breakage whatsoever. Our engineer can attest to this, our utility chair, our water sewer operators. There was no break, It was actually routine maintenance. And so I would just like people to be aware and be cognizant of the fact that when you're reading these sites, this is someone's opinion, and it's only meant to inflame and incite people and basically try to dupe the public. So if anyone has any questions ever about something you might read on these sites, you know, feel free to contact me or anyone else on the council. But, and as far as them saying rates will rise, we did say it was a possibility that the rates could rise. They may not. And if they do, we were assured that it would only be about $10 a month. And again, we are almost assured of getting the nano grant, which will greatly reduce the $719,000. And also, again, replacing the pipes is something that every town does. It's business as usual. If you don't replace pipes, they'll just start. They're 82 years old. They will just break. They're going to break here and there. And it's three times as costly to fix a break as it is to do preventive maintenance and replace them. So I hope you will print that, Mike, and now it's in the public record. Yes, I know. Not sure. Yeah, not sure if I want to get into that. With I'll consider it. Okay, so we come to public comment on agenda items only. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to bring up that's on the agenda?
Gotta open up.
Oh, I'm sorry. At 7:09. And I will close the public portion on the agenda at 7:09. We come to approval of minutes from October 22nd, 2018, regular session minutes. Would someone like to move the minutes?
Make a motion to approve the minutes of October
22,
2018.
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes. No, yes, Mr. Dermody has to abstain because you weren't.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And that's it. Okay. So out of the three, two, we're good. So they did get adopted.
The minutes passed. Right. Okay, we have no correspondence this time. So we come to ordinances. We have the second reading of Ordinance 18-08. An ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt amending Chapter 7, Vehicles and Traffic of the Borough Code at Section 7-15 to create a new yield intersection at Homestead Lane and North Valley Road. So I will open the public hearing at 7:11 p.m. Does anyone have anything they'd like to comment on about this new ordinance, which is basically a yield sign at the triangle at Homestead, which didn't exist before. Mike?
I think it's a good idea to move a yield sign to a place where it's appropriate.
Instead of on my front lawn?
Instead of in front of Peggy's house, where it's not very clear what it's supposed to signify.
And it's been there forever.
Right, exactly. So it's a good move.
Thank you. I agree. Anyone else? Okay, we close the public hearing at 7:11 p.m. Do the vote now?
Mm-hmm.
So do roll call for the vote.
Motion to adopt.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt 1808.
Oh, yeah, that would help.
A second.
For the roll call.
Okay.
Now we can have the roll call.
And Luke, you can.
You can vote.
Great.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Okay.
1808 passes. Now we come to Ordinance 18-09, an ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt amending Chapter 7, Vehicles and Traffic of the Borough Code at Section 7-14 to create a new stop intersection at South Rochdale Avenue and Clarksburg Road. So does everyone realize that's what we call Paradise Hill if you're coming down from the Assanpink into Roosevelt? Which people have been zooming in, coming downhill at top speed and flying into Roosevelt, there'll now be a stop sign at the bottom of that street.
I have a question about that. Is there going to be another sign that says three-way stop rather than, you know, because when I drive and I hit a situation like that, there's only three stop signs and one direction actually doesn't have to stop. It can get a little confusing, I think.
Who doesn't have to stop? Coming out from Tamara?
Coming down
571 here.
Oh, yeah, when you make the turn
the
into
one
Roosevelt.
That,
yeah.
That doesn't have to stop.
We can't put a sign there, though. I don't think that's not up to us.
Yeah, that's a county.
You
know how they say four-way? I wonder if that you could. You're saying put three-way three of the stop
signs. Because then you might assume that it's a four-way.
We could ask for sure. See if we can, if we're allowed to. Do you know if we would be permitted to buy?
You'd have to get it approved by the county first.
Well, we can ask the county. In other words, to put a sign that says three-way stop ahead, or.
Well, you wouldn't have to advertise if it's on your road, on a municipal road.
You can put that
as a three-way, but that would be even more confusing because which three are we talking about here?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it would be best
to be ideally, three. I think it should be a four-way, but since it's a state road.
I would contact the county. I don't see it being a big deal to add another stop sign, but, you know, to add three-way to...
Well, you could add a sign that says oncoming traffic does not stop, something like that.
Yeah.
So that when you're making that turn, you would realize if a car is flying down the Assaping Hill. Or whatever, you know.
Well, hopefully they won't fly now because the stop sign will be there.
Right. Well, yes, it will be. I don't know.
Well, we can definitely look into that. Yeah. Let's see. So the public hearing opens at 7:14. Does Mike have anything to say?
Again, having suggested that, I think it would be an excellent. I think it's a good idea. I think the... if there's any need, if there's anything more to be done, let's see if this solves the problem of having the people coming down the hill and barreling into traffic that's coming, that doesn't see them coming and doesn't really go the right way. Hopefully this will be sufficient. We don't have any more signs.
Yeah.
This is the traffic going, making the left turn is sort of a natural turn. You just expect that. You expect that there. So this hopefully this would be sufficient.
I mean, I sound like a broken record, but years ago it wasn't a problem because we had so little traffic in town.
Now we have many more
people, especially they come from Assanpink just flying down that road.
The only thing there is we put the stop sign. There is a pole there already, so you can put the stop sign on the other side of the pole. But they're going to have to trim some of that tree there. There's a tree that blocks visibility of the signs. If you want the sign to be visible, you have to trim that side of it.
Yeah, we'll tell Dave. Dave's probably the one who will install it, so yeah. Right. Thank you. Anyone else? Debbie?
Debbie Connors, North Rochdale. I think it's a great idea, but if I may make a suggestion, putting a sign further down, like as you're coming out down Paradise Hill there, saying stop sign ahead.
That may not be. Is that our property?
It's our property.
Yeah, you can do that.
Kind of forewarn people because otherwise they're going to be coming there and all of a sudden
slam on their brakes.
Because we have that on Clarksburg Road, but unfortunately, because like Michael just said and like I've said to you before,
the overgrowth.
All that brush there, you don't really see it. You don't see the stop sign until you're right on top of it, even though you have the warning.
I don't think it's a problem to order a warning sign.
We don't need
like
an ordinance.
Yeah, we can just order that.
Especially when people come down.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, we didn't have the traffic.
Never.
Now.
And the traffic we did have drove slowly. It was different than.
And it seems like we're increasing our accidents there. So.
Well, there was an accident in Roosevelt today, I believe.
Yes, there was. Another one.
And then there was a very bad one. It's not Roosevelt, but it's Scooter Corner yesterday.
Yeah.
Terrible one.
So, you know, I think if we can give the people as much warning.
Yeah, no.
And, you know, like I said, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's got to be done.
Yeah, well, we can buy one of those.
Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, close the public portion, the public hearing at 7:17.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt 1809.
A second.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
1809 passes. Okay, we've come to resolutions. We will have to table resolution 18-137, authorizing transfer of appropriations for 2018, number one. Because we don't, you must, for any kind of budget transfers, budget appropriations, you have to have two-thirds of the council, which is four council members. So we will, that will have to wait till the next meeting.
Do we need a motion to table?
I don't know.
I think, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion to table, 18-137.
I'll second.
Great. Can do all in favor? Can do all in favor for tabling, can we?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
There's not too many people to call.
I
know. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
This is to table resolution 18-137. Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Okay.
Come to 18-138, payment of bills for November 13th, 2018.
Let's make a motion to pay the bills, 18-138.
Second?
A second.
I just wanted to point out one thing on the bills list that that caught my attention. Trenton Roofing and Siding, we had an additional expense for the new roof on what used to be the, or is currently the DPW garage. When they were putting the new roof on, they discovered that there was a lot of rotting plywood. It required 18 additional sheets of plywood up there, because for 6 years that roof, since Hurricane Sandy, it was damaged, it was allowed to leak, it cost us $8,000 more because of the damage. It also required I believe 6 2x6s, which are the supports that holds up the roof, to be put in too, because those were damaged and rotting too. That's one of the consequences of not doing maintenance as you go along, not repairing things when they're broken. It ends up costing more money down the line. And I'm glad to see that this council is taking care of things and maintaining things before they break. I think in the end it does save a lot of money. It may cost a little more up front, and it may look like you're spending money, a lot of money up front, but I think it's worth it. Nothing else to add, unless there's any other questions on the bills.
Also, before we vote on the bill list, I just wanted to mention that generally we have an actual paper that says, which from our CFO, from George Lang, that says he certifies that the funds are available to pay the bills. But he's at the Municipal League Convention in Atlantic City, and he wasn't actually able to send a hard copy. But we have a phone call and a note from him saying that the funds are verified. Can we have a roll call?
Mr. Bowen?
What is this for now?
Pay the bills.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
We come to 18-139, authorizing the issuance of a raffle license for the Roosevelt School PTA. RA. Is that called a hashtag when it's in writing like that? 04.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know.
Pound?
Pound sign.
Yeah.
Pound sign.
It's supposed to be number.
Yeah, it used to be number.
Yeah. That's what it
well,
is.
Well, it is
number
here,
18.
Too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Would someone like to move that for the raffle license?
I'll move it.
Second?
A second.
And the roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
18-139 passes. Resolution 18-140, authorizing a fair and open process and issuance of a request for proposals for 2019 professional services within the borough. And that is going out for all the professionals that the borough employs and in every town. They send in their request to do service, to have perform services for our borough.
I'll make a motion to approve 18-140.
Second.
And a roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
I've come to Resolution 18-141, appointing an assistant administrative clerk. This is someone who will be working in the borough one day a week. She'll be assisting Anna. She can take some of the workload off of Anna. Also, occasionally Anna does take off from work herself, so this way we won't have to close the borough hall. She can fill in. I've met her and interviewed her. I can't find the paper in here, but her name is Kim Chiaffe. Paper is this on? She was highly qualified, very nice. Yeah, here it is, Kim Quofo. And she has a very impressive resume. She's a paralegal. She's also done extensive work for the United States Army. She worked at Fort Monmouth for many years before they closed. So she's really going to be an excellent addition, I think. And she's very flexible. So she's going to be working Thursdays. But if Anna generally tries to take off on a Friday, so then she'll fill in on a Friday that week. And I think you'll all like her very much, and she can lessen Anna's workload a bit.
I do want to note, I noticed the resolution, I put appointing assistant administrative clerk on the agenda, but it's actually
secretary
appointing
clerk/secretary. Yeah. That's
it. Is that what it's listed as in the
resolution?
Okay. Yeah. Do I have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second.
I'll put Luke.
There you go.
Okay, Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Okay,
well, welcome Kim.
We'll get a letter out.
Yeah.
When does she start?
I think this Thursday, actually.
I think it's a December 16th, Friday.
Friday? Oh, maybe Anna wants her to come in with her.
No, November 16th.
November 16th is Friday.
Okay. Maybe she's starting this Friday and so she can watch Anna.
Okay.
Because generally she'll be coming on Thursdays. We have reports of committee chairs. So we might as well just go directly to finance. Councilmember Hamilton.
We had a finance meeting. A bleary-eyed finance meeting, 8:30 a.m. on November 7th, the day after the election. And George Lang, it was the only time that George could make it. He's our chief financial officer. I was present, as was Joe Trammell. We're the remaining members of the finance committee. We took a look at our water sewer utility budget at this point in time, ran some numbers. We wanted to see as of and it came out as of November 5th. What are we looking like with our free balance, which is the amount of money that's not encumbered to that point? By encumbered, we mean we haven't already said we know we're going to spend this money. We have it put aside. How much money do we have in reserve? It's similar to how much, to you would look at your bank account and say, how much money do we have to spend between now and the end of the year if we put in all the things we know we're going to spend money on. Water had about $51,482 in free balance. So we got excited about that. We thought, that's great. Sewer only had $6,524, and we have all of November and all of December to go. One of the questions that I had was, how come we have a good balance in water and less of a balance in sewer? And it's looking like that's because our sewer operator is now doing a lot of the lab testing for our water. So our water operator will bring samples instead of contracting out for that and bringing it directly to a lab or an outside contractor to do the testing, John Holden brings it to Mike Lyons over at the sewer treatment plant, and they do the testing. So there's actually a shift then from – so water, the water department isn't actually spending that money now. That money's being spent by the sewer department. So that's running that balance down. That's what it looks like is happening. So it actually is great, because when you look at the difference between what we'd have to pay, the net savings from the difference between what Mike Lyons charges and what an outside contractor charges, it's about 40% less. So we expect to see net savings out of that. How that's going to turn out at the end of the year, we don't know. But total, it's like $58,000 in free balance, which is not bad, but that's a budget that always scares the living daylights out of us because it's so self-contained. The only two income sources are user fees and the water cell phone tower fees that are on top of the water tower. So no way of actually adding more revenue. So we worry about the expenditures in that budget.
We are getting the new cell tower, though.
Yeah, we are. And we expect about $40,000 yearly income in that, depending on when that kicks in.
Yeah, it should be fairly soon.
But we don't like count on that as you know. Okay, we're safe there. You still have to manage all your expenditures there. General fund, which is separate from the water sewer fund. So water sewer fund is funded by utility fees that we all pay. Not all of us, most of us.
Most of us.
And the general fund, which is everything else that the town does and manages, is funded by taxes. That's very healthy. That budget looks really good. There's a good free balance in there. It looks like we're in good shape with that. So we just wanted to take a quick look at this point in time before the end of the year at those two budgets, and then make some transfers if we needed, and we had some transfers that we wanted to make. Basically, with a transfer, you just take money that was budgeted in one line that you haven't really expended, and you just move it to another line in the budget where you know you're going to be needing a little extra money, because you really can't tell exactly how much money you're going to need for certain things. And as of November, toward the end of the year, you can make those line item transfers. We're not able to do that because we don't have two-thirds of the council, of the seated council here tonight. But we had a few items for that we wanted to do. And essentially, it's just a little budget shifting that happens this time of the year. We spent a lot of time going over the state's best practices questionnaire and worksheet. The state comes out with what they consider to be best financial practices for towns. So they have various items. I think there was like 60 items on their list of things that they think towns should do. I think we're at about 90%. We're following already about 90% of the best practices. So I give credit to having a really good chief financial officer, auditor, and finance team, including Anna DeBevick, which I think does a terrific job in-house, and also the council and any of the agencies that spend money here are doing a good job with that. That's on the agenda for tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Well, it's on to discuss under new business, but George said he did file it.
He did file it. Okay.
Yesterday, that's the due date.
And the state also put some budgetary provisions in there where if you don't meet a certain level of expectation for them, they can actually dock you and not give you, actually penalize you by withholding some of your state aid. So we're doing pretty well with that, and there are some areas perhaps that we can do a little better in, but most of it's designed for large towns, so we don't really
meet
the criteria.
Yeah, some of it doesn't apply to us.
Yeah. One of the recommendations that came out of the meeting was that the council committees start meeting, if they can, with an idea about what you might want to be doing in the next budget year, which is going to We're going to start budget planning soon for that. So if you know, if you can meet with your committees and talk about things that you think might be might want to do in the next budget year, we can start taking a look at that. One of the other things that I wanted to note is that Anna Debevic, who's our finance person in-house, and she really runs the show locally for finance, she was able to use the Millstone Board of Ed. We have a shared services agreement with the Millstone Board of Ed, which has various people who do various jobs for them at a lower rate of pay than you can usually get anywhere else. There's a guy who does HVAC repair for them. Anna called the HVAC guy, had him come in, take a look at our boiler here, noticed that there were some major leaks in the boiler, in the boiler room, and he was able to work on them and fix them. His comment was that no repairs were ever made to this boiler that he could see.
And how old is the boiler?
I don't know, but it was, he said if it had gone too much longer, there could have been severe problems. So we were able to do that and also, you know, head off some other future expenditures, probably, and at a lower rate of pay by using that shared services agreement. We have a bunch of shared services agreement with various municipalities and agencies, and they all work out really well. They save us a lot of money. We have shared services with the county, who does snow sanding and salting and brining of our roads, which unfortunately we're going to have some of that soon. But we save a lot of money with that. So I think the public needs to know that I think we're, to my eyes, and having been on various councils for the last 20 years, it looks like we're doing a lot of really good things in terms of trying to manage the money better, using shared services agreements, trying to stay on top of preventative maintenance so that we don't run into problems down the road. So my kudos to everybody who's played a hand in that, and I think we have some really great people who were employed by us who are doing a really great job.
I have a question.
I agree.
how is the cell tower contract negotiated? Well, they just come in and say, we'll give you $40,000 a year, and that's it? Or is it more of a...
It's a basic lease agreement with the provider. And Greg is drafting the specs, and we'll get it over to the clerk hopefully within the next week or so.
But I don't think there's a lot of negotiation. I think they sort of have a top number that they'll pay, and
they have a number that is associated. I've negotiated many cell phone tower, you know, on top of, you know, large high rises, and they really have their number, and that's what they're willing to pay. And it's significant, you know. I mean, you can get $2,000-$4,000 a month for a cell phone tower, which is pretty impressive. I mean, think about it. You're not really intruding on anyone's space, and doesn't really take up much room. It's just airspace. And
but then, how do you know whether it's a competitive
rate or not?
What, Steve?
How do you know if it's a competitive rate? I mean, because they could come in and say $20,000 or $10,000. You know, like, how would you know whether or not you're getting
the most the amount of money for your space?
They have all of these cell. I've negotiated probably dozens of these, and they all have their number. They basically say, this is what we're willing to do. They're usually willing to, you know, provide, you know, they do all the work themselves. That's costs that are borne by them. I've never had a situation where we've negotiated now as far as what the, you know, a price if you want to sell air right space to a cell phone tower, and, you know, how much is that worth, you know, as far as what your property is worth. But as far as the number that you're leasing it out to, it's usually a number that they have negotiated for in, you know, hundreds of other deals.
So, like, I was just thinking, you know, could you look around and see where they have other towers and, like, how badly they need our tower?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, and that's what, you know, that's why they're competitive in the prices that they're offering, is they know that they have, you know, say Sprint has a need for something in Roosevelt or, you know, because of the surrounding towns. I mean, they know that going in, and that's why they're interested in your space, as opposed to, you know, going to a neighboring town.
So how many towers, cell towers do we have up there now?
Just two.
Two?
Two, yeah.
How many can we have?
I think...
It depends on how many that it'll hold.
Well, there was a lot of work done first here prior to this where, with Carmella, our engineer, to see whether it would fit, you know, their equipment would fit. It was, the tower was strong enough to hold it. So I guess they have to do that each time.
Some of the things that we negotiate, too, are the terms of the lease, and that could be important because you could, for instance, if we needed to do repairs or painting or anything on the cell tower, we have stipulations, I think, there in the agreements that say that they have to remove and put it back up for us at their cost, not our cost, if we need to do that. So it's important to put those kind of stipulations in any kind of agreement that we have. And we do have a cell tower ordinance that we're working with them too, which we may want to review and make sure that that's up to date too. But, yeah, I think it's in a key location. And I think it's T-Mobile and
Sprint.
And Sprint, which I think are merging.
Yeah.
And they're the only two major carriers that aren't up there right now.
Yeah, it's we have Verizon and AT&T currently. So now Sprint / T-Mobile wants to come in. But I don't think we have a lot of leeway in deciding price. I mean, I think they pretty much tell us we're paying.
Because that goes right into the water sewer?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's on the water tower. So that goes, and it's part of the utility system.
It actually originally was part of our general budget, but we realized that we needed it in water sewer more. And since it is on the water tower, we changed it to the water sewer budget.
Yeah. And the report.
Okay, Public Works.
Nothing from me. I've been out of the country, so I'm not really.
Yeah, was it? Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Steve was in Cuba, in case anyone knows.
Cool.
Okay.
You still have the same hat and the Che Guevara hat?
I have another hat that I bought there. You'll like it.
Mike, do you have anything you want to say from environmental? Okay. So there's no old business on the agenda. Come to new business, best practices, which we just discussed. So we need to approve the use of the Barrow Hall to Diana Moore for a meeting for Hilltop Swim Club on December 9th, 2018, from 7 to 9. Do a roll call.
I usually get a first, second, and then you can do all in favor.
Okay. Anyone like to move
that? I'll make
that motion. Approve that? Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. All right, we come to public comment on any item. Opening the public comment at 7:41 p.m.
Mark Turner, 23 North Rochdale. I appreciate everybody doing preventive maintenance. I've made it pretty good looking at it. And it does save a lot of money and takes a lot of planning to put it forward of what you're looking at. So I'm glad to see things are getting done. I'm really glad to see the gas stations down and it looks much better. And I'm really glad to hear everybody's talking about how much better it is to do things planned and unplanned and emergency. Several months ago, I gave you a video of my sewer, which has branches coming in through the furrow side. That the engineer had questions, and I haven't heard any questions in a month and a half or so, or I haven't heard any questions from him. So my question is, what are we doing?
I'll look into it.
I mean, apparently somebody, I shouldn't say it, I hope somebody in this council or the engineer looked at the video.
The engineer did look at the video.
Yeah, he did.
And
she did.
Then approved the payment of me being reimbursed, saying that to me, that acknowledges the borough, says that it's the borough's problem. But my question is, what are we doing? We're talking about, we got to do it before it becomes an emergency.
Well,
emergency is coming, and I'd like for it not to be an emergency. I'd like for it to be cleared up. The county county has already approved that tree to come down. It's causing a problem. The electric company is going to take it down. It's wrapped in electrical wire.
So what is it exactly that you're asking?
When are you going to fix it?
Fix what?
The branch is going into the sewer line on the borough property side, going off my property line.
We'll have to bring it up to the engineer.
Well, let me just say that
I asked this question a month and a half ago, and I got the same question. Your answer, except myself, the engineer asked questions.
Well, the engineer did review it.
What'd you say?
Well, I don't have a written report from her, but she did review it. It was only. It looks like we were billed on for the work on 1029, which is only about a couple weeks ago. I haven't spoken to her about it. I don't know if anybody else has, but we'll have to get her recommendations on it, and I'll follow up on that for you.
Is this typical?
What?
Is this the way it normally happens when somebody brings you that video? It just sort of sits until somebody comes up and says, what are we doing?
Connors, we have a town that we run here. There are many, many, many aspects and facets to it. Could I please finish? Okay.
Public comment?
We have six... the council table is allowed to speak at the public comment. That was it was misrepresentation for people to think at the public comment that the people at the table can't speak. They can.
Speak.
We have six volunteers, seven if you include me, who work very, very hard to keep this town running well, running efficiently, running as cheaply as possible, and pleasing all the residents. We can only get to things as we can get to things. We can't do everything all at once. So when there's a problem, we definitely look into it and we get to it. Right now, I just got, when I said before that, when I had mentioned before that there was no pipe break and it was routine maintenance, I don't think you were here for this, but I did finally just get a text from our water operator because I asked him how the sludge removal went, and he said phase one went very well, and phase two, which is the final phase, will be done tomorrow. This is something that hasn't been done in 4 years, that should be done every year or two the most. We get to everything as soon as we can. Nobody wants broken branches, interfering with the pipes. We all live here. We all want the town to run well and not have emergencies and not have huge expenditures. But we can do as much as we can do. And there's not a person at this table who doesn't work really hard. But there's only so much we can do. So some things have to take a step back or have to be on the back burner. So, yes, you did complain. You were reimbursed. But we'll have to wait until other things. We have to prioritize everything. And we will ask the engineer to look into it. And as soon as possible, we'll give you... She did look into it.
I just don't have the engineering report on it.
But
I'll call her in the morning and I'll ask her for a written report on that. Generally, we handle things systemically. We're not going to just go out probably and just do one area. If there's problems along the line, we would clear out those root systems, and we do have a contractor for that too. So we'll take a look. I'll call her in the morning.
Okay. Yeah. I understand you're all volunteers, and I appreciate that. I volunteer in this town. However, you volunteered to do this job. So please don't assume when somebody questions it that, oh, I'm a volunteer, I'm not responsible. You are. You accept
I've never said that.
Now I'm speaking.
I did not say that.
You wanted to speak, I stopped and allowed you to speak. Now you're going to stop and allow me to speak. I appreciate the fact that everybody volunteered, but you all volunteered for this job. You all said, I will do it. I appreciate that it's a pain in the butt. I appreciate that I'm being a pain in the butt. However, people are allowed to ask what's going on, and if it isn't convenient that question be asked, that's a shame. I wasn't trying to cause a problem. I was asking what you're doing. You're making only statements about, oh, you should get to it before it becomes an emergency.
Right.
Well, I asked him, what's going on? What's the engineer? I was told the engineer had a question about a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard anything about from the engineer. Haven't heard anybody from the borough asking the engineer.
Did you call about that? Did you call the town? Did you call the borough offices or anything to ask about it? Because we would have followed up on it right then, too. But
I asked him here.
Oh, I know. You're here. We know you're here.
I hear a month ago or a month and a half ago.
Well,
I didn't know I had to call. I'm sorry. I must be ignorant of the procedure. I guess I have to call the borough?
No, there's no procedure. If you want an answer, we're accessible. You can call any time. And we did have an engineer come out and take a look at it. We spent $1,300 to address the problem that's in front of your house and to look at it. That was the first step. We will move on it. We don't spend money for an engineering report and then do nothing with it. We do not do that. I can tell you that right now.
But how come I had to ask this question? Oh, I just had to ask it.
Because it was done about 10 days ago. We had an engineering report that was issued. She engineered it and looked at it about 10 days ago. I don't have the report. I don't know what else I can tell you.
That would have been an answer tonight.
That is.
I should have to keep asking.
That is the answer.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Communicate. Yeah, it's nice you have a report. Oh, you got an engineering report. That's not well. I don't know that.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Share the information. You guys all bring it on open communication. Be open.
Yeah. Right.
If you find something out, tell them.
We didn't find out anything on it yet.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
So what do we report on if we don't have it?
The engineer came out and actually looked at it and did something.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
If I had to report on everything that we've been doing for the past 2 weeks, we would have three flyers out that would be two pages in the mail to every homeowner. We can't report on everything until sometimes people come to meetings and say, what did you do about this, just like you're doing. And I respect that, and I think you're right. We need to follow up on that. I haven't spoken to the engineer yet, neither of you, right, about that. But we will.
And I appreciate the reminder.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm hoping not to have to remind anybody at 3 a.m.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You're right about this preventive maintenance thing and not let things become emergencies.
Right, exactly.
And yes, it may seem like a small thing, but this is as important to me as the blacktops going in front of your house.
Yeah.
And the pipes are going to be replaced in front of your house. Well, that pipe is just as important to me.
I've never complained about the front of my house. That's been a sinkhole there for at least 6 years. I've never complained.
Well,
you can bring it up, but I've never complained about it.
That's fine. But it's as important to me what's happening in front of my house as it is what happened in front of his house,
yeah,
and his house, and your house, and his house. When it happened to you, you're going to say, hey, wait a minute. How come this isn't being done? So I'm asking that question. Mm-hmm. And Mike just actually, after my asking several times, told me that the engineer came out and looked at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, I asked the question 3 or 4 times to get that response.
We also asked her to view the video as soon as possible, which she did. We reimbursed you immediately.
Right.
So we have
I
tried
appreciate
to
that.
Take action to...
Because I would assume that had she reviewed the video and not thought it was on borough property, I wouldn't have been reimbursed.
She actually was not sure about that. In her report, she decided that it would be, we decided it would be in the best interest to reimburse you, but she actually was not positive that it was on the borough property. That her actual response was that she could not tell where it was on the property.
And whenever there's
it's
a doubt,
easy enough to do.
Yeah, whenever there's a doubt like that, we usually err on the side of.
All they have to do is put a camera back in there. It'll give you a tone sensor of the location.
Yeah. Okay.
And they'll stand. Oh, it's right here.
Yeah.
They can tell. They don't have to dig a hole. They can tell.
Would anyone else from the public like to comment on anything at all? Okay, we will close the public portion at 7:51.
Do you need executive?
Do you need no.
executive?
No, we don't need an executive session.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second?
I will second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Meeting's adjourned at 7:52.